A little girl had been learning about Noah and the ark. And she came to her grandfather and said, "Papa, were you in the ark?" Indignantly, the grandfather said, "Why, no, of course not." And she looked up at him and said, "Then why weren't you drowned?" You know what? I love kids, and I love the things that they say. A Sunday school teacher asked her class one day why it was so important to be quiet in church worship service. One bright little girl said, "Because people are sleeping." One little boy came home from church one day and suddenly announced to his parents, "I've decided to become a minister when I grow up." The mom and dad said, "Wow, okay, that's great. What caused you to make that decision?" Little boy said, "Well, I have to go to church on Sundays anyway, and I figure it would be more fun to stand up there and yell than sit down here and listen." You know, I love kids. I love children of all ages. I love babies, as long as I don't have to change them. I love babies. I love toddlers and preschoolers. I think one of the greatest experiences, the most enjoyable experiences that I've had in this church, one year I taught the preschool Sunday school class. And did I learn a lot about you guys? All the they tell stories and, oh, just a great time with them. I love school-age children, elementary children. I love middle schoolers. I really do. My first experience and my baptism into teaching in a local church, I had accepted Christ, really didn't grow up in a church, but I started going to a Baptist church, and I told the Baptist preacher the first day I was there, I said, introduced myself, and I said, "If you want me to do anything in this church, just give me a call." That's dangerous. 2 weeks later, he called me and said, "I have something I'd like you to consider doing. Would you teach," at that time it was called junior high Sunday school. I said, "Sure." I didn't know, you know, "Sure." He said, "Let me tell you, the two teachers the last 2 weeks that have taught that class have left in tears." No problem, you know. And I didn't know the rules of teaching Sunday school. After I kicked two of them out the first day, I'll tell you what, after that we had a great Sunday school class. It was wonderful. But I loved working with the middle schoolers or the junior high. And I love teenagers. I'll tell you, I really do love teenagers. You say, you know, you don't have to live with them. Yeah, I know, not now, but I love teenage kids. I love the kids. I love the kids of this church. I think we have the best kids around in this church. Now, I might be prejudiced, but I think we do. I do. I think we have the best kids around in this church. And, you know, the Bible has a high view of children. The Bible says children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. God says kids are a blessing. You're a blessing. And Jesus had a high view of children. And I remember that account. You probably remember it too. I think it's listed in three of the Gospels, but in Matthew 19, it says that one day parents were bringing their children to Jesus. It says that he might touch them and bless them and pray for them. And you know the disciples, you know what the disciples said? Basically what they said, "Get out of here. Jesus doesn't have time to bless kids." That's what they said. And you know what Jesus, you know what his reaction was? The scripture says he was indignant. And he said what? "Permit the children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God." And unless you become like one of these little ones, you're not getting in to the kingdom. And he said, bring them to me. And it says he took them in his arms and he blessed them. I want to tell you, children, look at me. Everybody, if you're from preschool all the way up through your teens, you look at me. Jesus loves you. He loves you. You have a special place in his heart. Jesus really, and he wants to bless your life. He really does. He wants to bless you. Now, we have been taking a look at family. When we took a look at family, at the role of the husband, and we've already been mentioning this, but our role, guys, in the family, we're loving leaders. We're to set the pace for our family. We'll give an account for that when we stand at the Bema seat. How did you lead your family? How did you love your family? That's our role. Wives, again, you have a role in the family, and that is the role of submission, of willingly placing yourself under the authority of your husband, of respecting him, honoring him, building him up, encouraging him as you, as a team, lead that family. That's your role. But children, listen to me. You have a role in the family too. God has something he wants you to do in the family, in your family. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. So open your Bibles up, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. We're going to talk about the children, the role that children are to play in the home. And children, God wants to speak to you this morning. He wants to speak to you this morning specifically. So I want you to listen. Number one, the command, we wanted to look at the command given to the children. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. And I think on your outline it says Colossians 2:20. It's Colossians 3:20. But he gives the role of the child, the command to the child. Listen to what he says, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now listen to me. Why would God give that command to children? Now, this might shock you, but children have a tendency to not obey. Yeah, it's true. I read a story about a mother. Her birthday was coming up the next day, and her three children came to her and said, you'll appreciate this, Mommy, what can I give you? What do you want for your birthday? And the mother, listen to this, ladies, the mother said, what I would really like for my birthday is three obedient children. Three children that will listen to me and be obedient. And one of the kids said, oh, that's great. Then there'll be six of us. I read that this week, and it reminded me when we were raising our kids. And Linda and I started teaching our kids the scriptures right away. I mean, when they were toddlers, we started teaching them memory verses. The first memory verse that we taught our boys was what, Jeff?
Ephesians 6:1.
Ephesians 6:1. And we taught them that. And Jeffrey, he was, I don't know, 2 1/2, very young. And I went to him, Jeffrey, what's your memory verse? And he said, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Ephesians 6:1.
I said, Jeffrey, wonderful. Wow, what a big boy you are. Man, you got that one. You nailed it. Wonderful. I said, do you know what that means?
And he kind of,
I said, that means you have to obey and do what mommy and daddy say. And he looked up and said, no.
You remember that, don't you?
I'll tell you, children, you know what? There's that innocence. I'm not going to obey.
But you see, look at who the command, note who the command is directed to. The command is directed to you, children. And the word here for children means children of all ages. It means from little children all the way up through the teenage years, all the way up, you know, if you are living under the authority of your parents, when it says children obey, it's speaking to you. And I want to say this. Do you know God has again, this shows us God has a high regard to children. Because as he speaks to the husbands, he speaks to the wives. Now he says, listen, children, you have a role in the family. And he speaks directly to children. That shows us something else. In the early church, children were a part of the worship service. They were in the worship service. Now that makes sense because the church is met in homes. So the children are going to be there. Did they understand everything that was said in the service? No. Did the adults understand everything that was said in the service? No. Did the Apostle Peter understand everything that Paul wrote? No. You can read 2 Peter 3:16. Peter says, man, some of that stuff that Paul writes, man, it's hard to understand. And I say, what? Amen. You know, it's sometimes hard to understand. But they were there. And God spoke specifically to them. Now, in our church, we have the children up on the fifth Sunday for the whole service. Other Sundays, we have them up for part of the service. And then they go down and they're taught some of the basics and fundamentals that will help them to be better understand as they get to a certain age here in the church. But the point is, this is to you, children, young people, obey your parents. That's what it says. It's actually a twofold command. First of all, it says, children, obey your parents. That's acts of obedience. The Greek word here, the original, comes from two words, which means to hear and under. And what it's saying, when it says obey, put yourself under the authority of your parents and obey. Do what they say. Do what they say. First of all, hear. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other ear. Listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Again, I'm going to tell a story about my boys. It's part of being a preacher's kid, I'm sorry. Part of being a PK. PK is a preacher kid, not a pain in the kidney, right? My boys would go out to play. And they're either two doors down, they played two doors down generally, or there's an alley, a way they would play down an alley, which is a couple doors down. And if I had some chores for them to do, or if it was the streetlights, you know, streetlights come on, you have to come home, I would cry out, Jeff, Chris, Josh, Tim, come on home. Nothing. I know they can hear me. I know it. So, Jeff, Chris, Josh, Tim, come home. Nothing. So I have to walk down. Do you ever do this, parents? To walk down and say, guys, I've been calling for you to come home. You know you're supposed to come home. Didn't hear you, Dad. But if I go out and say, Jeff, Chris, Josh, Tim, dessert. Boom. They were there. Whoa, man. What this word's talking about is listen to your parents and do what they ask you to do. Do what they ask you to do. To what extent? How much do I have to listen? Colossians 3:20 says, children, be obedient to your parents. Listen. In all things. Now this is God speaking to you. In all things. Listen to your parents. Now I'm going to say something, and I have to say this. There are rare instances, rare occasions, where a parent, or maybe a step-parent, will tell a child to do something that's wrong. And if that occurs, children, then you need to tell somebody first. Tell another adult. But you should obey God. And you might have to disobey, but that's very rare. God's command to you, number one first aspect, listen to your parents and obey them. There's a second aspect, though. Not only children obey your parents, but children honor your parents. Honor your parents. That's the second aspect. Honor your father and mother. And whereas obey talks about outward action, doing what they tell you to do, honor talks about your heart, talks about inward honoring or respecting your parents. It talks of attitude, the attitude of obedience. You can obey your parents and not honor them. But if you really honor your parents, you will obey them. And give you the example, and I've said this before, you probably heard this, about the little girl that's in the car with her daddy, and she's in the back seat, and she's standing up. And the dad looks in his rearview mirror and says, honey, sit down and put your seatbelt on. Yeah. No. Yeah. My dear, sit down and put your seatbelt on right now. Doesn't pay attention. Young lady, I tell you one more time, I'm pulling this car over and I'm going to spank your behind. She sits down and puts her seatbelt on. And then she defiantly says, Daddy, I did what you told me to do, but I'm standing up in my heart. Do you see the difference there? Yeah. See, she did what she was told to do, but her heart wasn't right. She wasn't honoring or respecting her parents. Now, to honor your parents means to treat them with respect. It's not to diss your parents in talk or behavior. It's not getting with your friends and saying, you know what my mom or my dad did? Man. And complaining. It means you show respect and love, and you seek to bring honor to them. It means to put, listen to this, children, it means putting your mom and dad's needs even above your own needs. Once in a while. No, in all things. It means to live in such a way, listen, that your mom and dad can be proud of you. Amen. You are to obey your father and mother as long as you're under their authority. You're to honor your mother and father all your life. Amen. All your life. And even when they die, you should still honor your father and mother.
Yes.
Now, Second point. So your job is to obey your parents. Your job is to honor your father and mother. Second point, reasons why a child should honor and obey his parents. You know, the favorite question of the child is what? Why? Why? Why should I? Why should I do that? Well, glad you asked. Because I'm going to give you five reasons why you should do that. Now listen to these. God is speaking to you. Number one, I hear that, amen. Because it is the Christian thing to do. You see, it says here, children, obey your parents what? In the Lord. In the Lord. Now, I believe all children should honor and obey their parents, whether they're Christians or not, or whether their parents are Christians or not. But especially, listen, if you call yourself a Christian, then you should obey and honor your parents in the Lord. Children, you can't be living in obedience to God if you're living in disobedience to your parents. So it's the Christian thing. If a Christian child or a young person is called to honor and obey his parents in the Lord, because it's the Christian thing to do. Number two, because it's right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Now, who says it's right? Where's the study? Where's the psychological case study that shows it's right? Who says it's right? God says it's right. God says it's right. And what God says, listen, is right, is right. And what God says is wrong, is wrong. You say, but Pastor, wait a second. That was written 2,000 years ago. We're in the 21st century now. Well, I'll tell you what, case studies change. Man's opinions change. Man's learning change. But God's word doesn't change. And God's truth doesn't change. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart unto all generations. God said 2,000 years ago, children, it's right to obey your parents. It's right to honor your mom and dad. I know sometimes that, you know, I've talked to people, they said, you know, Pastor, that's hard for me. You don't know what I went through. And I know sometimes that is hard. But it's right. It's right that we do that because God says it's right. It's the Christian thing. It's the right thing. It's thirdly, because it's commanded by God. It's commanded. Actually, verse 2 in Ephesians 6 is a quote of the fifth commandment of the Decalogue, of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. Listen, children, this is so important. Your role in the family is so important that God put it in his Ten Commandments. And I think the significance of it is really found in where it is found in the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth commandment. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last five commandments, 6 through 10, deal with our relationship with men. And right in the center, the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. Because the way that works out in honoring your parents, it affects and reflects your relationship with God. And it affects your relationship with people outside the nuclear family. You know where children learn to respect authority? In the home. Parents, that's important. It's a training ground. It's a testing ground. It's the place, it's the greenhouse where we prepare them to live in the world and to live under God-given authorities. And if they don't learn it in the home, they're going to be in trouble. My son, Tim, works down at Dan Street Youth Detention Center. And he tells me about the lives of kids. Jimmy and Dave work at True North. They see the effects of kids that don't learn to live under that authority and how they end up. I'm going to tell you, you should obey your parents, honor your parents, because it's the Christian thing to do, because it is right, and because God commanded it. And that means it's important. It's real important. A fourth reason why you should obey and honor your parents is because it is connected to a promise. Now, kids, if you didn't like the first three reasons, you got to like this one. Because it says here, this is the first commandment with a promise. If you do this, God promises you some things. He promises you, first of all, quality of life. He says, obey and honor your parents, honor your father and mother, first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. Do you want it to go well with you? Do you want to have life? Do you want to have purpose? Do you want to flourish in life? Then this is what you should do. And God says, it'll go well with you. That's quality of life. And then there's a promise of quantity of life, that you may live long on this land, or long on this earth. Now, I've got to comment on that, because I struggle with that a little bit. I think this is a general promise. A general promise. If a child is obedient and listens to his or her parents, generally, they'll have a longer life. They won't do something dumb. Their life won't be cut short of all the days that God would like to see that life be lived. So kids, if you want it to go well with you, you want to live life and be blessed of God, obey and honor your mom and dad. Now there's a fifth reason why. Fifth reason why. It's not here in the text. It's over in Colossians 3:20. But it's because, listen to this, this is big. This is big, kids. If you obey your mom and dad, you honor your parents, it's well-pleasing to God. It pleases the Lord. You know, sometimes young people, you get the idea, what can I do to really serve God? What can I do to please God? Yeah, I have to wait until I grow up. I have to wait until I get to be an adult. Then I can do something significant for God. Oh, no! If you will be a significant part of your family, and you will obey mom and dad, and you will respect and honor your parents, you know what? You just see God. He's looking down, and there's a big smile on his face. He says, that's well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And do you know why? I think one big reason why. Listen, please listen. Every child, please listen. God loves you. And He wants to bless you. He really does. And He's put parents there to guide you. And I know the sin nature in you wants to disobey and wants to do your own thing and wants to, I know that. But when you submit to your parents and listen and honor them with your life and your walk and your talk, you get blessed. You get blessed. And that's what God wants to do. So God looks down and says, man, I'm well pleased. Now, who's the best example of this? Who's the best? Listen, guys, husbands, you are called to loving leadership in your home. Who's the best example? Jesus, right? Love your wife as, just as Christ loved the church. He's our example. Guys, our best example of loving leadership is Jesus Christ. Wives, you are called to submit to your husband in everything. Wives, who is the best example of this? Come on. Jesus Christ. Because he submitted himself to the headship of the Father. When he came in the incarnation, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. He gave himself. He said, not my will, your will, Father. That's submission. And the best example of submission is Jesus Christ. Because he submitted, we have salvation. Children, who's the best example of obeying their parents and honoring their parents? Tell me. Jesus Christ, right? You know, we have a beautiful example of this in Luke chapter 2. If you want to turn there, you can. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. You remember that? We don't know much about Jesus when he was a little child. But we have this story. One story. Jesus was 12 years old. And his mom and dad brought him down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so they celebrate the Passover feast and they gather everything up and they start for home. They had a group of people that were with them and they started in the, I think they called it a caravan, and they were starting for home and they thought Jesus was with them, but they turned around, they looked, where's Jesus? Where is he? And no Jesus. So parents, if you lose a child, you know how you are, you're frantic. So they frantically, they go back to Jerusalem and they're looking all around for Jesus. And finally, they come to the temple. And there they find Jesus with all the scholars, all the elders, all the spiritual leaders. And he's asking them questions. And they see how much wisdom this 12-year-old boy has. And they're marveling. And Mary, his mother, comes up and says, Jesus, why have you done this to us? Why didn't you get in the caravan and come back with us? We you were lost. We didn't know where you were. Remember what he said? He said, didn't you know I would be in my Father's house? How can you lose a person when you know where they are? You should have known I'd be here. And then there's a verse. Verse 51. Listen to what it states. Listen. It says, and he went down with them. Jesus went down with his parents and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Continued in subjection. You know what that means, kids? He put himself under his parents, and he obeyed his mom and dad, and he honored his parents. And I'll tell you, Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And then verse 52 says, listen, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. As he was under that authority of his parents, as he did what the Bible says you should do as a child, God blessed him intellectually with wisdom. He blessed him physically. He grew in stature. He blessed him socially. He blessed him socially. He grew in favor with man. And he blessed him spiritually. He grew in favor with God. God blessed him. And then Jesus grew up. And you remember, right before he started his ministry, he was baptized. And the heavens parted. And God, his Father, spoke and said, "See that guy? That's my boy. I love him. I am well pleased with him. I'm well pleased." Children, that's your role, to honor and obey your parents. You say, "Pastor, that's hard. That's hard." It's not hard. It's impossible. Yeah, I see some teenagers going, "Yeah." It's impossible for you to do that unless you first have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You've given your heart to Christ, and unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. You need His power to help you to do that. But if you come and if you receive Christ and you ask Him, "Lord, this is hard for me. I can't. I know my rebellious spirit. I know how I feel. You help me." He will, because He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long on this earth. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, thank you so much that, Lord, you just don't speak to adults. You just don't speak to husbands and wives in a family. But thank you that children have a vital, important role in the home. And you honor them so much that you speak directly to children. And I want to thank you for the children that are in this church. I love them, Lord. I do love them. And I pray that, God, you would speak to their hearts. I pray that you would save children. I pray that you would fill the children of this church with the Spirit of God. Pour out your Spirit upon our offspring and your blessing upon our descendants. Lord, help the children of this church. And I know it's hard. It's hard. But Lord, you never command something that you won't supply the power for the one you command to do what you've asked. So I pray you touch the children this day. From the tiny ones all the way up through the teenagers, I pray your blessing upon them today. Help them, God. Help our families. Help us to function as the family of God and be all that you want us to be. Lord, bless our kids. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.